Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And how are you proceeding, my friend?
In all sorts of ways, really. Yeah, we'll discuss this. But today I would love to start with some questions for others.
Very well.
Okay. First of all, for Christoph in the forum, Alexander, I believe, did Christoph permanently change his primary aspect in his last Aya session to one that is quite similar but a bit less open and porous in order to move more self-directed and less influenced by outside sources?
Did he change primary aspects? Yes. Permanently? No.
And the change corresponds to what he identified, what I just said?
Yes. Correct.
So the temporary nature of this is purposeful, but not necessary for his movement that it be permanent. And he also wondered if at that same time, if he also changed his male-female energy ratio from 64% male to 52% male.
Correct.
And is that change also temporary, or that remains to be seen?
No, that change is likely permanent.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Atticus, she is asking, and I'm quoting her, "I have been feeling an energy on the right side of my head that radiates into the ear and right cheekbones." And she is asking, is this you, Elias? She said the sensations are pleasant.
Yes.
Okay, and is there anything you could add to that? What is that doing, or what is she doing with that?
It is an encouragement and an added energy to be supportive in her direction.
Okay, very well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Lila, I will quote her question. Elias, I have never been so intentional in my life. Am I on the right track to a breakthrough, or am I missing something that perhaps I'm not aware of at this time? P.S. I am re-engaging the love, the horses.
Congratulations. And I would express yes, you are in a direction and on the brink of a breakthrough, and I would express a tremendous encouragement and another hearty congratulations. Well deserved.
I think she is being significantly consistent.
I would agree.
Not necessarily perfectly consistent. I mean, who is? But it seems to me like she definitely is very committed.
Definitely. I very much agree.
Anything else you would share to her?
I would say that that is enough.
Okay. Very good. And speaking of Lila, I was wondering, is Alan Watts a focus of Lila?
Observing.
Okay. I have a few other focus questions. This individual, which is disengaged at this time, Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, the Tibetan. I wonder if there isn't a connection to me, and I wonder if it could that possibly be a focus of my father, Ronnie.
Yes.
Good Lord. And the individual that has been identified as his reincarnation by the Tibetans, Dilgo Khyentse Yangtze, which is currently alive, is that a correct identification of another focus of that essence?
Yes.
Ah, so that would be a concurrent focus of my father. I mean, Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche, I mean, that's a big gun. Okay. All right. Also, my father, he was here recently on a visit. We had a beautiful time. We were discussing other focuses and things like that. And he was telling me the story of when he went to Cambodia. He was in a war museum over there, and he came upon a picture of a woman, and I'm not sure if I got this right, but I believe she may have been like a prisoner or tortured or something like that, and he was struck by that picture, and he just felt such a connection to that woman who, I mean, would be disengaged now. Is that a focus of his?
No, but he knew her.
He was closely connected to her.
Yes.
In what capacity?
A strong friendship.
Hmm. I just felt some emotion there. Was he in a similar situation as her?
Yes.
Why am I feeling such an emotion?
I would say that it is definitely tapping that part of you that appreciates him and that loves him. And in that, you are definitely recognizing that as part of him. It is interesting that most individuals don't recognize how much they express separation. Separate even yourselves in relation to different focuses, which is understandable. But as you grow, as you expand, as you become more self-aware and you thin those veils of separation and you genuinely begin to recognize more of the interconnectedness of everything, and that other focuses are simply other attentions of a person, let us say, because they are simply different attentions of one essence. And in that, if you know one individual, then you also are more easily connecting with other aspects of that individual, which would include other focuses of that individual. And you would likely, if you are lessening that separation, feel that these other expressions or these other experiences of other focuses belong to that individual. Therefore, so you know your father in one focus, being privy to any other focus, regardless that you haven't objectively met them or perhaps even interacted with them, even within other focuses of yourself, it matters not, because as you lessen that separation, whatever you become aware of in relation to other experiences, you feel that in association with the person that you know objectively.
So me feeling this strong emotion just now, which is not typical for me, would be a reflection or an indicator of my movement into less separation.
Yes, yes.
I welcome this, actually I've decided to have emotions now, so maybe I won't put them in my body.
I would express excellent choice.
Yeah, I'll do the emotion bit. I'm reevaluating that whole policy. Let me bring up another interesting focus. First of all, I would reconfirm that because it's kind of mind-boggling. I don't remember if it was Lila or Atticus that had verified with you, but this individual of Apollonis of Tyana, that's a focus of Samta?
Yes. And?
That's my question too. okay. Oh, God, I don't know where to begin with this. The book that was authored by the Greek sophist Philostratus, can that be considered a generally accurate account of Apollonius's life?
Yes.
The surviving copy of those writings, this is just a mere curiosity, was that secretly smuggled out of the Library of Alexandria ahead of its burning?
Yes.
Is that focus, Apollonius, is he aware of simultaneous time and the existence of other focuses of his?
Yes.
I don't know what to ask more for now. Are there directions of investigation or you know?
I would say to merely allow, my friend, that your own curiosity will steer you.
Mm-hmm. I'll explore that connection and maybe we can revisit this focus.
Very well.
Also, I wanted to reconfirm too, this individual, Jiddu Krishnamurti, that is a focus of Michael, isn't it?
Yes.
That essence doesn't fool around. I mean, doesn't he have relatively few focuses and like just all these big guns? It's pretty impressive.
And I would say engaging the most of the time that is chosen to be engaged with physical focuses in this reality.
That's right. That's right. There's a notable saying of Krishnamurti that I really find inspiring. I suppose he was answering a question and he said, "You want to know what my secret is? You see, I don't mind what happens." And it's so simple, but it's so profound, you know, that there's such an allowance and an absence of control implied in that statement.
I would definitely agree.
And, you know, I have this my own version of that statement that pops into my mind frequently now as I explore allowance, as I continue to explore allowance. And it's simply that nothing has to happen. Nothing has to happen. And there's such a peace in that.
I would definitely agree with that also.
Which is not the same as saying, you know, I don't want anything to happen. It's more, it's just the embracing of what arises.
Correct. And that everything doesn't require specific action to accompany it.
You mean there doesn't need to be a response?
Correct.
Yeah. You know, I have come to regard allowance as an act of sanity.
Excellent choice, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just... The alternative is utterly crazy. You know, we have discussed allowance before, and I was musing on this, and I think I figured out why it's so difficult to describe allowance as an action. And this isn't really a question, but I would just like, you know, to run these musings by you. And we had discussed that allowance being an action before, and we were comparing it to me being used to pushing, and in the contrast between pushing and allowance, it made it look like allowance was a passive expression.
Correct, which of course it isn't.
It isn't. But I think I've put my finger on another aspect of this that lends to the impression of it being passive. And that is very simply that allowance is our nature. It already is. It is already being expressed as essence. It is akin to the very fundamental action of being. Therefore, there is no additional doing necessary to express allowance. From our standpoint, as focus is all caught up in separation, it is more about not doing what blocks that expression rather than having anything to do special to express it, which is part of why it seems like a passive expression or a surrender. And it's also why it is easier to describe allowance as what it isn't rather than what it is, as you did yourself in our previous conversation when you said it is lacking struggle, it is lacking control, it is lacking conflict, it is lacking pushing. It's much easier to describe it in this fashion because it already is.
Correct. And when expressing that to an individual, they are more likely to understand by expressing what it isn't than by expressing what it is. Because in expressing what it is, most individuals likely would not understand that and would be waiting for the continuation of the answer.
Because to understand what it is, you actually have to express it. You have to allow it. You have to express it. Otherwise, it's very hard to define.
Correct.
Yeah. And in connection to this topic, why do you say that it is trust that is the alternative to control? Because it seems to me that allowance is the more direct opposite or alternative expression. Because say I let go of control or go in a direction of lessening it through my expression of allowance, I'm not necessarily trusting in doing so, am I? Can't I be allowing, therefore not controlling, but still be unsure and not necessarily expressing a trust?
I would say no. Because I would say if you are genuinely allowing, you are trusting. Because what you know is control, which creates this feeling, this signal that you express of a type of security. Control creates a perception that seems to be more tangible, more solid, that it seems to be more predictable. It isn't actually, but it seems to be. And in that, you don't have to trust to express control. In actuality, if you are expressing control, you aren't trusting. But in expressing allowance, when you are genuinely expressing allowance, you have to be trusting. Because you have none of the obvious pieces that accompany control that suggest that security to you, not in what you know already and what you are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, in expressing genuine allowance, you are expressing trust, because you aren't dictating an outcome.
This is part of the confusion, because we in the transition from control to trust, there can be the misconception of, in a manner of speaking, trusting a particular outcome. But that's not it.
Correct.
You don't.
Correct.
In trust and allowance, you don't actually get to be sure of what the outcome will look like. Did you say yes?
Yes.
What you are sure of is that the energy that you're expressing will create in alignment with that energy, but you're not actually choosing all of the elements of what the outcome will look like.
Precisely. Therefore, not controlling it. Therefore, you aren't trying to direct or dictate any outside source in relation to the creation of an outcome. You are directing yourself, but in directing yourself, you are generating that acceptance that outcomes don't have to precisely appear in the manner that you conceive them to, because you know inwardly that you don't always see all the possibilities objectively.
So whenever we move in a direction and we hold a particular outcome with any sort of tightness, or any we hold it, that is a clear giveaway that we're not expressing allowance.
Correct.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we may not envision outcomes to occur in a certain way, but if we are attached to that, That's the telling sign there that we are not expressing allowance.
Correct.
And a trust that is being expressed as the alternative expression to control. I mean, I suppose in previous time frameworks, or now in relation to some people, people would direct that trust in something like God, but maybe now with the shift, the point is to direct that trust to self, right?
Yes, yes. And there are continuing to be, at this point presently, many, many, many individuals throughout your world that are still directing that trust or that confidence in God, per se, but it is changing, and they are expressing that trust of itself through the trust of God, but involving themselves in the capacity that they know they are directly linked to that trust.
Right, it's not black and white. It's you can have an object or an outside element that you are directing your trust toward, but in your own connection to that, then you're still involving yourself too as part of that trust.
Yes, correct. But the difference in relation to religion and God is that previously individuals through religious expressions and expressing that trust of God were encouraged and taught to trust God, perceive themselves as close to nothing.
Right.
Therefore, the trust was not only explicitly expressed in relation to God, but completely.
Right.
That is definitely changing
mm-hmm.
now, in which even in relation to religious expressions and experiences, people are expressing that trust in God, but they have altered their perception to the point in which they connect themselves with God.
Mm-hmm.
They interpret a perception now that they are part of God and God is part of them. Therefore, they are also including that interconnectivity.
And that is part of the transition from what it used, the more religious expression of this, and going into the shift where that trust will be more directly applied to self.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Okay. How would you qualify my expression of allowance at this point?
I would express that it has grown tremendously. The telling piece is and will be what you do with your body consciousness.
Uh-huh.
Not that you won't ever create manifestations. Don't delude yourself in the direction of that type of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is unlikely. Because people such as yourself that use physical manifestations as communications to themselves,
mm-hmm.
they don't generally stop that completely at any point in their lifetime. Therefore, you simply do it more efficiently.
And perhaps it would not be as drastic or ongoing.
Correct. And the ongoing piece is the telling piece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not wouldn't necessarily generate some type of physical manifestation, but that it generally would not be ongoing because it wouldn't be necessary.
I understand. So why don't we go into that subject now? The the body consciousness. Well, first of all, may I take a small break, like 1 minute? We don't need to hang up, and I'll be right back.
Yes.
Okay, just a moment. All right, I'm back.
Very well.
Okay, so last time, or when we last discussed the subject, the main point was, you know, the concentration. And I guess I wasn't as committed to that as I thought I was. Because it's really hard to remain committed if you engage that direction. And I had initial very good responses to that willingness to change the concentration in a more intentional manner. But then it got worse. And to remain committed, as you know, what I suppose was just waves of the previous momentums occurring, if you're not strongly committed to the change of concentration, it's easy to revert back.
I agree.
So I found that out. There's a few different things I want to say about what I've explored recently. So, yeah, so the symptoms did worsen, and, you know, in a very similar sequence as what I experienced when I was in New Brunswick in 2017. And that was so discouraging to me. I contacted the healer that I had worked with in New Brunswick when I was there. I had such just great results and experiences with her. So we tried a distance healing, and she could actually feel and notice everything. But for me, on my side, I didn't notice anything or experience any difference, which is the only time it's been like this with her. So I thought, well, maybe there's something in my perception that doesn't allow the distance effect. And that kind of contributed to me being even more discouraged. So for a few days there, I thought I was going to become a Buddhist, and I was all depressed. And I've been climbing my way out of that. Yesterday, I made a stronger commitment to changing the concentration, because I was aware, as I was attempting again to fix, it wasn't actually helping. And just in the...
Let me ask you...
Yes.
All of this.
Yeah.
What are you recognizing and noticing and identifying in relation to the concentration?
That it has momentum.
Yes.
Well, what I've noticed in the past 24 hours is that it's actually not that difficult to change the attention, but it doesn't necessarily change the feelings quickly. I mean, it depends.
Because attention and concentration are two different expressions.
I understand. Yes. Yes.
Therefore,
I mean,
that is what I'm asking you. What are you noticing in relation to the concentration through all of this process that you have been engaging and all of this experimenting?
That, I mean, look, all of my life so much of my life now is defined by that concentration. And, you know, it feels daring to let go of that, but...
Let me express to you in this manner.
Okay.
Let us look at a situation, hypothetically, of, let us say, an individual that has developed the habit of smoking.
Mm.
Now, the reason I choose that rather than a different type of habit or what you term to be addictions is because with other types of substances, there are more dramatic experiences that all generate in relation to the substance itself. In relation to smoking, let us say tobacco, the individual generates this habit. Now, they develop a very strong concentration on that substance. Now, how that concentration is expressed isn't necessarily that they are paying attention to it continuously.
I understand.
Because they aren't. And as you expressed, that you don't have to be paying attention to it. You can actually intentionally move your attention away from a particular subject, and that doesn't necessarily affect the concentration at all.
No, but I would think that with repeated changing the attention, it does change in time the concentration. But I
get... Not necessarily. It depends. Because I would say that if we use our hypothetical individual with the example of smoking, now the individual can change their routines, can change their habits surrounding smoking, can change their rituals, can intentionally not be smoking at certain times or in certain places or in certain situations, and it still doesn't change the concentration. And how is the concentration expressed? The concentration is expressed in that on semi-regular intervals, the individual will automatically be prompted by the body consciousness to engage that action. Whether they are paying attention to it or not, and regardless of how strongly their attention may be directed in a different expression, it matters not. That concentration is strong enough that it will prompt the body consciousness, as I expressed in a semi-regular time framework repeatedly, that it is time to engage that action of smoking. And the individual's life, as you said, will revolve around that action, regardless of what they do. Their sleeping patterns and habits, their eating habits, what they do, what they choose, where they go, how they interact, everything they do on a daily basis will be influenced by this one concentration. This one concentration will be dictating everything in this individual's life. Because everything will revolve around it.
Okay.
Individual that is smoking doesn't necessarily see that and doesn't necessarily identify that everything they do is being dictated by this concentration, that it is being influenced every day. And hour by hour in their life. This is also, as an aside, one of the reasons that I emphasize so strongly the importance of paying attention to all of the mundane activities that you engage within your day. Because by doing that, you can discover these types of expressions, what your concentration is, by what your behavior is, by what you do in your daily routines every day, hour by hour, it is being influenced by what your concentrations are. Now, in that, let me also express to you, even when that individual makes a decision and chooses to stop smoking, they are tired of it, they don't want to do this any longer, they don't agree with the action, or they are afraid of it, regardless of what their reason is. When they stop smoking, that doesn't mean that their concentration stops. Their concentration continues. And in that, now is what you were discussing when we began this conversation about maintaining in relation to changing a concentration. Now, once the individual has chosen to stop smoking, now they are in a situation of changing a concentration and maintaining that. And how do they know that the concentration hasn't changed? Because they are continuing to be prompted to engage that action of smoking.
So changing a concentration is more than, entails more than what you're paying attention to. Can we say that it amounts to?
It is a matter of generating intentional choices,
yes,
are contrary to that concentration.
Right, which is, yes, this is where I was going, is to make choices as though there was no problem.
Correct.
That's daring.
I agree. And when it is a matter of a concentration, that can be challenging. And it doesn't happen immediately.
I mean, exactly, because if you start making choices like that, it's quite likely that somebody in my situation will experience those reactions from the body consciousness, like you were saying, and to remain committed when you have that sort of backlash is like it's a leap of faith.
And it is challenging. Yes, I agree. Just as with the individual that chooses to stop smoking, they are being prompted by their body consciousness to smoke. Therefore, in that, they are now required, if they want to maintain that choice and change that concentration, what is required of them is to, in those moments, intentionally, objectively make different choices in different directions than what the concentration is expressing.
You know, at this point, you could almost say that anytime I engage a healing action, it's almost instrumentalized by the concentration.
I agree.
It's almost counterproductive. I mean, more than almost.
I agree.
You know, it's for me now.
That concentration.
Say what?
Because it reinforces that concentration.
Right, that there is a problem to address to.
Precisely, which is the reason that with some individuals, when they choose to quit smoking, it may be much more challenging and difficult than for some others because they are reinforcing that concentration by paying attention to each time they are prompted to smoke, and their reaction to that is to be distressed and expressing how uncomfortable they are and how much they don't like that.
Now,
that is productive because it reinforces the concentration. Therefore, it incorporates more time for the individual to actually move into an expression in which they aren't bothered.
I see what I did more clearly now when I left New Brunswick and went to Montreal. It was a daring choice because I wasn't sure that I'd be able to cope with all of what that involved. But I made the choice, ultimately, in a manner that disregarded the problem.
Correct.
And that's what worked.
Correct. But it is also very understandable that your body consciousness would be reacting at times, because that is a residual, very similar to the individual that quit smoking. Doesn't mean that they aren't being prompted to smoke any longer. They are. But they choose not to follow that feeling, and they choose to continue to express in the direction that they intentionally want.
And of course, to perhaps minimize the reactions of the body consciousness, it might be kind of smart to do that gradually and not kind of like do a 180 turnaround, or is it? Or is that actually a good idea to just kind of like, you know, stopping cold?
It depends on the individual.
Okay, what about me now?
For you, I would express that yes, you could move in that direction. It is challenging. It is difficult. But you can do that.
You mean the swift version?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Now, understand when I say it can be difficult and it can be challenging, understand that what that means is that doesn't mean that you will stop having feelings of the body consciousness moving in directions of being affected.
I understand.
And the body consciousness likely will react. And it can do that for a significant amount of time. Just as the same with an individual that stops smoking. Now, in that, the individual might experience a significant amount of time in which they are not bothered by those promptings of the body consciousness, and then suddenly they reappear.
Which is what happened with me. They reappeared because they had gone away.
Correct.
All of it.
This is what I am expressing to you. The reason I continue to use this example of the individual that is the smoker is because it is an excellent example. You interpret a tendency to think of physical manifestations, illnesses or malfunctions in the body consciousness as being different. Because you don't choose that, but you do. Therefore, you think that physical manifestations or dis-ease or illness, that these are different from something or someone that has chosen to quit smoking because they chose to begin smoking and they chose to continue to be smoking and they chose that habit. Did they actually choose that habit objectively? Most of them, not necessarily. Did they likely know that it would develop into a habit when they began? Most likely. But most individuals entertain the idea that they are different from everyone else and they won't be in a situation in which they will succumb to this, what you term to be, addictive habit.
Would you... Sorry, go ahead.
Therefore, it isn't that different. And in the development of the habit, there are certain time frameworks and certain expressions that promote the habit. When an individual is anxious, they smoke more. When they are awkward or uncomfortable, they smoke more. When they are bored, they smoke more. when you have difficulties, when you are overwhelmed, when you are interpreting difficulty coping, you create physical manifestations. It isn't that different.
Would you say that at this time, I'm in a similar position as I was in December 2017 when we had that whole session on habits, where you were saying that basically I was maintaining the manifestations out of pure habit, and that the original reasons for the physical manifestations were not being expressed?
I would say, are you still in that same position? No. Because you are more aware now. I would say that you definitely have been becoming more and more aware. And what I would say to you is that you have been experimenting, you have been becoming more aware, you have been understanding more, and it has incorporated this amount of time for you to actually approach a point in which you began to understand the nature of a habit. And that a habit isn't always something that you objectively choose. You are choosing it, but that doesn't mean that you are intentionally objectively choosing it or that you wanted it.
Right.
Very similar to the smoker. They didn't necessarily objectively choose to create this habit that dictates their life.
So would you say at this time the manifestations is it's all habit and concentration?
Yes.
Okay.
Now understand that doesn't mean that it isn't real.
I'm aware.
Because I would express that I'm aware that you don't necessarily move in this direction much, although there is a very slight influence of this, but other individuals do move in this direction, in which in your previous 100 years, your science of psychology has moved in a direction that has consistently expressed that some physical manifestations are induced by concentration, once again. But their evaluation of that and their explanation of that is tremendously discounting, because they label that as being psychosomatic. That their interpretation is the brain or the mind, which they consider to be the same, which aren't, but that the mind creates physical manifestations, but that the body is entirely healthy. Therefore, they create symptoms without actually creating physical manifestations. But that is not true. It is true that individuals create physical manifestations in relation to concentration, in relation to stress, anxiety, tension, overwhelm, discounting. Individuals create physical manifestations for many, many, many reasons, but they are very real.
Well, I thought I was pretty clear on concentration in that last conversation, but actually I'm more clear right now.
And I would say to you that you become more and more and more clear as time continues, that this is the difference between now and 2 years prior, or 1.5 years prior, that you are more aware, you are understanding much more, and your experimentation continues to evolve. Because you are more aware.
I mean, it's a bit frightful, but it's also quite invigorating, thrilling, even the idea to be so bold and daring as to do a swift reversal of the concentration.
I understand, and I very much acknowledge that, but I also would very much express to you the recognition that swift doesn't mean immediate.
Yes, I'm saying that in relative terms.
I understand. And in that, the residual energy and the reactions of the body consciousness can continue, and can even continue for a time framework of a year or more, but it will definitely display signals of becoming less and less and less and less frequent.
Yeah, I mean, when I moved to back to Montreal, some of the manifestations did go on for months, but then it all cleared up. What did I do to bring it all back?
That, my friend, I will express to you very simply, is the wrong question.
Okay, that move on then.
What I would say is, it isn't a matter of asking the question, what did I do to bring it all back? It is a matter of recognizing, remember the smoker.
Yes. I see what I just did.
Of remembering, oh, the body is reacting and prompting again. It isn't a matter of what did I do to bring it back. It is a matter of what am I going to do now?
Yes.
On it. Move in a different direction.
Yes, because then if you don't stay committed to the change of concentration, you're going to get all entangled in it, and it's going to get worse again. Yes, I get it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And asking the question, what did I do to make this happen again, is
wrong answer.
Automatic question.
Yes.
Prompted by the concentration.
Okay, I get it. Let's move on. I get it. Okay, I know this was a healing attempt, but yesterday I meditated, I got into a state of allowance, and I manipulated my energy field in the capacity where I made matter move inside my intestines, and that area that is pressing against the groin, which is the bitchiest of all the manifestations. And even me saying this word, right, choosing the word bitchiest, is part of the concentration. Okay, I get it. So is the most challenging of the manifestations for me. I have real abilities, Elias, to work with my energy field and make and change matter. I even had the impression I could re-sculpt the intestines. I mean, I know what we just discussed, but I'm also wondering, as I, in a scenario where I am committed to changing the concentration, isn't there a place for some interventions, some manipulations that are in a capacity of healing, but that are not predominant, that are becoming part of the minority of the day? And
yes.
And would you?
Just the individual that is the smoker that stops smoking, why are they stopping smoking? To heal. What are they expecting to happen to their body consciousness when they stop smoking? That it will heal. Are they concentrating or paying attention continuously to that healing action? No. But whenever they are prompted to smoke again, they pay attention because they make a choice not to smoke to maintain that healing process.
So this is not to say that I cannot engage occasionally in some healing manipulations, but the point is to not do that 5 times a day. And
Correct. And I would express that if you were moving in a direction of re-sculpting your intestines, as you expressed, that could be done in a direction in which it isn't necessarily even healing, that it is an entirely different action.
An artistic action? So would you validate that ability? Because it seemed to me I was being very effective in the physical matter inside my body. I was feeling it being very responsive.
I would agree.
So I could actually re-sculpt the shape of the intestines.
Yes, you could.
And would you validate the healer had a vision that the problem with, and it really corresponds well to the sensations, and it's been sort of my impression also, at the bottom of the ascending colon, there is an outward pocket, a deformation there, going in the direction of the groin, and that when it fills up and it's denser, that's when it becomes very irritating to either a nerve and or a blood vessel. And that's what's creating all the numbness and the dizziness. And because yesterday I placed both my hands on each side of my hips and I you know, energized very gently that area. And then in the fashion of a sonar, I sent energy back and forth, and it was scanning the area, and I could feel the denser place. And then I gently used my hand in a way that I inserted them in my energy field and started to pull up and kind of like bring that all upward and bring the mass that was there upwards into the intestines on its way. And then I could feel that the density was no longer there in the hip and groin area. Would you validate all that?
Yes.
So it is what is happening. It's a mechanical situation where that pocket is pressing against probably both a nerve and like the meridian and a blood vessel.
Correct.
So as I engage the constant, the relatively swift change of concentration, I could to lessen the reactions and lessen the discomforts, which in turn will help me to further emphasize the change of concentration, I could very beneficially, productively engage into these energy sessions with myself if the pocket is filled, for example. I can just take a moment and, you know, bring the density out of it and, you know, function more easily afterwards. And in addition to that, I can gently, gradually reshape that pocket area so that there won't be a pocket anymore.
Correct.
And part of why it didn't work with the healer this time at a distance is similar to when her house burned down and I couldn't access her in New Brunswick. Part of the point is that I need to do this myself.
I would agree.
Because I'm quite capable, because I'm a badass healer, if I allow myself to do it.
I would agree.
And this kind of ties into Apollonius because, I mean, he was reputed as quite the healer. And he popped into my mind a few times recently, and yesterday Sandra brought him up in a conversation. And I just feel more of a proximity than I did before. Would you say that can be a significant connection for me in... not merely in the specificity of this healing process, but as a very potent connection for me in this focus in general?
Yes.
Is he aware of myself?
Not directly.
Okay.
But indirectly.
Okay. He's aware of themes and flavors of experience and general connections and...
Yes.
Okay, last thing. The individual that I asked you about previously that has been experiencing cancer, has this individual changed her choice?
Not yet, but is in that process, yes.
So she is in the process of doing the unlikely.
Yes.
That was startling imagery for me, Elias, because I saw her like 2 weeks ago, and she's doing better than I am. And she swiftly improved, and... this coming from a woman I have seen in the worst agony I've ever witnessed in this focus. And that was a...
I would say that at times individuals can very dramatically alter their experience. But generally speaking, when they do that, they do it when their experience is already dramatically extreme.
Right, that becomes the impetus, the fuel to express that drastic change.
Correct.
But I was very impressed. Thank you, Elias. You know, it dawned on me. It's been dawning on me that if you are not actively implementing the information that you have been sharing with us, then we're not going to be able to keep up, and we are not going to get the nuances. And it is going to seemingly, it's going to seem as though there are increasing contradictions with the material. But actually, that is saying more about the person perceiving the contradictions, is because they are likely not implementing.
Definitely agree.
But nobody wants to hear that. Yeah, no, I mean, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, my friend. And I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting.
Yeah, me too, as always. And
I express tremendous encouragement to you and great congratulations.
It's been rough, but I am more aware.
Yes, you are.
Glass half full.
And wondrous lovingness to you, my dear friend, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.